This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Here are some headlines that are running today from Iraq. A car bomb kills three Iraqi National Guards in the city of Mosul. And in Sadr City, which is a part of Baghdad, U.S. jets attack an insurgent stronghold, killing at least five. A doctor at a local hospital reports many wounded, including women and children. Joining us from WSHU in Fairfield, Connecticut, is a reporter who might have brought you those kinds of details a couple of weeks ago. He's NPR foreign reporter Ivan Watson, stationed in Baghdad a lot of the time. He's back home on leave right now. Ivan, nice to know you're safe at home here, and welcome back to Day to Day.
Thank you, Alex.
You called me last week to say that you have something to say about Iraq coming back now from your most recent assignment there, that it feels different. Give us some perspective first. How many times have you been in Iraq over the course of this war and occupation?
Somewhere around 10 or 12 times, Alex, sometimes for long periods of 5 or 6 weeks at a time. And from my base in Istanbul, Turkey, I can also make little quick jaunts into northern Kurdish-controlled Iraq, which is a much safer place. I can even go in for a weekend, which I've done on several occasions.
So how is it that it feels different now? Where would you like to begin to say that Iraq feels different?
I guess I can't stress enough, Alex, how out of control this country is and how steep the downward spiral has been since basically the U.S. invasion. I've nearly been killed there. I've seen far too many people maimed and wounded and killed, and too much tragedy there over the past year and a half. But this last month in August and early September was something far more dangerous than I've ever dealt with. I felt far less secure than I ever have before. So just feeling the urgency of this situation over there, and also the hopelessness of it, and seeing some of my Iraqi colleagues from more than a year and a half there really trying to emigrate and leave the country because they tell me they don't see any peace in sight for at least 10 to 15 years. That's their assessment.
Ivan, I don't think that's what we heard from the Iraqi interim prime minister, Iyad Alawi, when he was speaking to Congress last week and speaking to reporters in the Rose Garden. He said he thought Iraq was straightening out, stabilizing, and was going to get better, and these elections are going to take place in January.
I wish that Iyad Alawi's assessment of the situation was that which he described, but unfortunately, what you have is a state of anarchy back in Iraq. You have a country that has become a battleground between the U.S. military and its very weak Iraqi government allies, and all of these shadowy insurgent groups and criminal groups and militias on the other side, and they're fighting over the entire country, and it's the civilian population that has been caught in the middle and that are dying in, who knows, dozen scores every day.
I have to ask you, is it anarchy? Is it dispersed and random violence, or is there a sense that someone like Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, this Jordanian terrorist, is actually organizing and running things, number one? And number two, what about all this great mass of Iraqis, the civilians that you speak about there? How could the insurgents operate without some basis of support among them?
Well, I do think it's anarchic. There may be some groups that are more focused in their attacks, but because the law and order has broken down so much, the violence is kind of everywhere. It could be breaking and entering or just kidnapping a local Iraqi for a ransom, or what kicked this all off, the United Nations headquarters being hit. An example, I was standing on the roof of the NPR house in Baghdad just a few weeks ago, and there was an Apache helicopter circling overhead just a few blocks away, strafing a neighborhood, and we never really found out what the source of that was. As far as the people of Iraq, they're really polarized. They don't really know what they want. They're just caught in this real mess. You really get a sense of resignation from them. You also get a sense of how powerless they feel. For the campaign in Najaf that went on over the course of August, a battle between the U.S. military and a Shiite militia group that I covered. Najaf, it's a southern Iraqi city that is probably one of the most pro-American communities I have seen in Iraq. And you got the sense that the people of this city did not support the militia group. They hated the militia group, and they supported the U.S. campaign to wipe that militia group out. At the same time, however, you realize that 1,000 armed men could literally take an entire city that did not support that group of armed men hostage, and that was why the U.S. military had been called in to try to run that militia group out.
You said that you had nearly been killed in the last assignment there, in the last couple of months. Was this because you were in the middle of a battle and the fighting got out of control, or is it these kind of random kidnappings that you read about? I just wonder about the kind of sense of personal danger in walking around a city like Baghdad today. How can you function?
I don't walk around Baghdad anymore, Alex. It's not safe enough. I mean, a year ago, foreigners there could go into the markets. We could interview people on the street. We could go to restaurants and go into shops. For 4 or 5 months now, I will not walk in the streets of Baghdad and many other Iraqi cities for fear of my own safety. There are two kinds of threats here. There's the threat of just the kind of insurgents on U.S. military violence, being caught in the crossfire, something like that. That's one thing that I can handle. That is one of the risks that comes with my job. The other is being specifically targeted. That is something that has grown, this threat where insurgents have targeted foreigners, journalists in particular, and then make these awful, gruesome videos where they behead these foreign hostages for their own propagandistic purposes. And that threat has grown exponentially over the past year and a half. And today, our employees in Iraq, our colleagues from NPR, they're trying to figure out the proper security measures to avoid the kind of house invasions that have begun taking place over the course of the past several weeks in Baghdad, where large groups of armed thugs, they'll invade a house and take hostages in broad daylight in wealthy, affluent neighborhoods of Baghdad, another sign of how out of control the situation is.
Are you going back?
I'm not due back in the rotation until December or January, and I'm not looking forward to having to be sent back.
NPR's Ivan Watson, at home on leave in Connecticut. Thank you for joining us on Day to Day, Ivan.
You're welcome, Alex.
Good luck.